Blues Festival coming up on October 20th. Can I call it a festival? Is that the way you refer to it?
Yeah, it's the Deep Blue Innovators Blues Festival, and this is our sixth festival. And, you know, it's a day-long just celebration of the blues. And our whole idea is not to kind of be all things to all people, you know, like those multi-day blues festivals, which are awesome, but to kind of focus it on people who are rooted in the tradition of the blues but are trying to do something innovative, trying to do something a little bit better and more spectacular.
Such as what?
Well, this year we're bringing back some fan favorites, but like a great example is one of our headliners, Blue Mother Tupelo, and it's a husband and wife team, but they do old school kind of gospel blues, but then they just kind of mix it up with really cool jazzy piano, just sultry vocals, just kind of distorted guitar. And it kind of becomes this sort of almost gospel, Pentecostal revival, hip-hop thing, and it's awesome.
And it's still blues.
I would think so, yeah, because, I mean, you're kind of deriving from that main 12-bar source, you know, the call-and-response lyrics, sort of the ode and the nod back to the Mississippi Delta and that structure and the field hollers and the history. And for me, the history is really important, that there's a connection, a thread back to that.
Some people, I think, might be a little resistant to the blues. They hear that and they think it's sad music, perhaps. What do you tell someone who's not familiar with the blues?
Well, I mean, there is a sense of sadness originally from it, and I sort of get a chuckle because sometimes I play blues and I play out, and once the paper misquoted my, and they called it pure depressing blues, but it's Depression-era blues. But really, it's kind of a celebration of, you know, getting your skeletons out of the closet and facing the things that are hard for you and doing that in song and kind of trying to get your feet stomping. And that kind of, it's kind of cathartic. It's sort of a way to celebrate the struggles rather than be overtaken by them.
What time do the doors open? How long does the day last?
Well, the day actually starts off at 10:30 at the Buchanan Center for the Arts right off the square here, where we've got Scott Ainsley, one of our performers and a noted blues historian, is going to do a free guitar workshop. And if anyone's interested, they can go to gomonmouth.com and sign up for that. The Blues Fest itself, the doors open at 2 o'clock. The fest kicks off at 2:30. One of my favorite things is early in the day, our local sort of barbecue master, Eddie B., sets up the smoker right in front of the Rivoli, and so it's, you know, you're smelling ribs going, and the shows kick off at 2:30, and it'll go probably till 10 or 10:30 at night with five acts, starting with Charlie Hayes and Joel Fleming. They're kind of our local go-to guys. Fred Dixon from Oquaka, he's an old-school blues troubadour with sort of a whiskey-soaked voice, and he was actually the whole reason I started the Blues Fest. Then we've got Scott Ainsley, that historian who does slide national guitar, and he's just got this deep baritone voice. Blue Mother Tupelo, and our headliner this year is the Matthew Scholar Band out of Chicago. And he's a harp player, songwriter, producer, and right now his main project is, they call it Chicago Blues, A Living History. And his band that he's bringing down here is touring the world. They were just at the Montreux Jazz Festival, doing this living history of basically what Chicago blues is. And it's just exciting to have them come down here.
You touched very briefly on the origins of this blues festival. Why 6 years ago did you decide we need a blues festival in Monmouth?
Well, I was at an open mic at a local bar here, and Fred Dixon came in to play at the open mic. I'd never seen him before, had this big fedora on, beard, gnarly arthritic hands, could not play the guitar worth a dime technically, but there was that soul and his gravelly voice, and I mean, tears welled up and I got goosebumps. I'm like, we got to get this guy a bigger stage. And that was sort of the genesis of, you know, I'd never done this before, but let's see what happens. And it's evolved into something that's really kind of a hallmark for our community every fall.
Yeah, and I take it you continue to do it, so I take it this has been successful for you?
It's been successful. I mean, in no way does it make money. But as far as an event that is, you know, a real wonderful cultural jewel, I think, for our community and our region, it's really successful. And the thing that I love is that people come, it's a long day of music, and they stay riveted. I mean, they're there, they're engaged. Every performer we've ever had play has a ball and they want to come back. So it's just, it's a day of just joy and celebration and ribs too, and that's essential.
Are you at least breaking even with it?
Some years I've broken even, some years I've made a little bit, some years I've lost my shirt, and it kind of, you know, I sort of figure it'll smear out over the next 10 years and call it a Herculean effort well done.
The guitar workshop at the Buchanan Center, is that something new this year?
We've done a couple different guitar workshops over the last couple years, and they're hands-on. So we invite people to come with their guitars. Scott Ainsley is a master teacher. I mean, he does books and videos for Mel Bay. He's transcribed all of Robert Johnson's recordings. And this guy gets up there with a whiteboard and shows you how to break down the scales and open tunings. And it's just, and all the time he's relating it back to the history of the blues. And it's just really exciting. And it's a way for those super nerds like myself to get like an extra dose of coolness out of the day.
Have you picked up any tips? Do you participate in these workshops?
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. And, you know, this all kind of started. I'm from Chicago, so I've always loved the blues. But I kind of started studying Depression-era blues as the antidote to all my time I spend on a computer, because I work on computers all day. And I just love the history, and I love the style and the technique, especially the juke joint players who have to do bass and lead and song and the rhythm and all that stuff and hold the crowd's interest. And it's harder than it looks, and someone like Scott Ainsley makes it look really well, but if you pick really easy. But if you pick up something from him, it's like a little magical nugget that you can use for years.
You've mentioned Depression-era blues, but the blues, of course, goes back much longer than that even, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's originally, one of the origins of it is the old sort of slave field hollers, the call and response when they were picking cotton and things like that. But there is also sort of a traditional musical history that W.C. Handy is really the one who's the first recorded the St. Louis blues. And the first one to really document the 12-bar blues style, but he actually heard it from a hobo playing guitar with a penknife as a slide in a train station. So, you know, it's really an amalgam of American music, slave music, African polyrhythmic music, and then some of the urban and a little bit more upscale things with, you know, piano and horns once things started moving into Memphis and Chicago.
It seems like the blues can be a lot of different things. You've talked about some of those already. What do all of these different types of styles of blues have in common?
I mean, I think one thing at its base level is probably at least a nod to a 12 or an 8-bar blues structure based off the 1, 4, and 5 chords that has sort of a turnaround style. I mean, a lot of these old blues guys sort of stumbled into the structure. I mean, you know, some one verse might be 13 bars, one verse might be 9.5 bars, but you can kind of decode and pick out that structure. And I think the other thing that they've got in common is this, one, there's sort of the lyrical call-response approach to songwriting, but there's that sense of kind of celebrating pain, not letting pain win over you, but winning over pain by singing about it.
Anything you want to add about the Blues Festival?
Well, I think it's a great thing for our region, and I hope, you know, it's not just for people in Monmouth. Macomb, Quad Cities, Peoria, we've had people come from as far away as Utah and Colorado to come out and see this. But I would just urge anyone, mark October 20th on your calendar and come down and spend a day. It's $15 if you buy the tickets in advance, $20 at the door, and that's a heck of a value for an entire day of fun and just really celebrating a truly unique American art form.
For those who've been to the festival in the past, is there anything new to look forward to this year?
Well, I think, you know, one thing I really spend a lot of time thinking about is sort of the flow of music through the day. And sometimes I've inadvertently ended the day maybe with a little less energy than I would want. And this day is going to amp up through energy to the end of the day. And by the end, I challenge anyone to be in their seats. They're going to be up there just whooping their hands and screaming and having a good time.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.